Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Brace the rudders! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started today at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Value Inspiration Podcast. My name is Ton Dobber and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration. The purpose of my company is to help business software companies rethink what can be to become remarkable again. The goal that I have in this podcast is to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. So my strong belief is that we can think big, and therefore we should. And doing so will help to create a better world for all of us. And this podcast is all about that.
The guest of my podcast this week is Vikram Modgil, founder of thegoodai.org.
There are some unnecessary or unconscious biases that come into our businesses and they creep in. And if you're not conscious, if you're not alert, they can impact lives. That is something that should not happen. So with that thought and knowledge and understanding, I wanted to contribute back and I started looking for forums where, you know, I can get involved. And I unfortunately couldn't find anything which was exactly what I wanted this to become. Normally, you know, everybody is hesitant on starting something like this on their own because it takes a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of people. Yeah. And I wanted to challenge that thinking and start something which is focused on helping one person at a time. And even if two people showed up, that would be a success. The three big things that we want to empower people to do are create awareness, engagement, and actions around the ethics and biases of AI and trustworthiness of AI. Being in Seattle is a very huge advantage for us. If we could influence Seattle, we could influence the whole world.
This is Vikram. Throughout his career, he has helped his clients succeed in achieving their goals by truly leveraging the power of the data they already own in using machine learning. And to do so, he has built an ecosystem company called P-Square that consists of employees, associates, and partners located in the US, Europe, and India. Prior to founding P-Square, Vikram was part of multiple successful startups and wore multiple hats, including business portfolio management, consulting, and delivering of AI services. Recently, he founded thegoodai.org in Seattle, which brings together groups of professionals and leaders from business, not-for-profit, education, legal, and technology backgrounds. TheGoodAI.org is on a mission to empower every human to contribute by spreading awareness, facilitating engagement, and inspiring action towards ethical aspects of AI. And this triggered me, hence I invited Vikram to my podcast. We explore the reasons why ethical AI is so important to sustain a world we actually like to live and work in. We also discuss the various aspects of ethical AI and what we can do as individuals, groups, or organizations to ensure we get what we want and hope for. By listening to this interview, you will learn three things. Firstly, that in order to encourage innovative ideas from within your organization on areas where AI could actually deliver impact, simply stick to four basic rules. It has to deliver a shift in value, be feasible, scalable, and responsible. Secondly, what the quality of your ideas for innovation will increase significantly once you ensure diversity in the room to look at the problem through different lenses. And thirdly, that it's in every software vendor's responsibility to raise some very tough questions whether their AI technology is ethical, explainable, and transparent. It all starts by doing the right thing, and that can be very profitable.
So, Vikram,
welcome on my podcast, and thanks for making the time available on your busy schedule.
Thank you, Tom. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So I've been looking into your profile, and you're doing quite a bit of things. I see that you got a number of companies that are busy around AI, machine learning, and the kind of the latest technologies. But one of the things that struck me was something that you founded, thegoodai.org. So, but before we start talking about that more in depth, maybe you can share with my audience, like, what are your passions and how did you get into business in the first place?
Thank you. Yeah, so AI and machine learning and data science has been sort of my background, and I've worked across the globe for more than 90 countries, actually. And, you know, looking at various levels of maturities and how people are beginning to embrace AI. And through all of that, what I also noticed that, you know, there are some unnecessary or unconscious biases that come into our businesses, and they creep in. And if you're not conscious, if you're not alert, they can impact lives. Some of these biases are very benign and they are harmless. Like, you know, whether you would click on a red or a blue icon, you know, those are some basic things that don't affect anybody, and there can be bias sure. there, but then there are other type of decisions which can influence lives. And, you know, if it's a mortgage decision, and if it is biased towards a certain gender because you didn't have data for all types of genders, mm-hmm. then those biases will affect lives. And that is something that should not happen. So with that thought and knowledge and understanding, I wanted to contribute back, and I started looking for forums where, you know, I can get involved. And I unfortunately couldn't find anything which was exactly what I wanted this to become. So with that thought, I thought, okay, fine. You know, normally, you know, everybody is hesitant on starting something like this on their own because it takes a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of people. Yeah. And I wanted to challenge that thinking and start something which is focused on helping one person at a time. And even if two people showed up, that would be a success.
Yeah, oh, that's fascinating. I actually wrote a blog exactly on this topic today. Well, your words, like, almost copied into the blog. It's the power of the start. And in so many cases that people have a great idea, but they have the fear to start. And therefore, a lot of these good things never see daylight. So good that you did that, and step by step, as you say, person by person. So what is the big idea behind Good AI?
Yeah, so the three big things that we want to empower people to do are create awareness, engagement, and actions around the ethics and biases of AI and trustworthiness of AI. So that is the foundational principle, right? Three pillars. And, you know, early part of what we did initially was focused on the first two of those, which was create awareness and engagement. So we did a lot of that during the initial days. But then globally, we saw this trend that everybody's talking about trustworthy AI. European Union had this amazing study with 52 different professionals from all kinds of backgrounds who were involved. And I was interacting with a couple of them, and then saw when the study came out, and you know, the conclusion for all the different studies that have been done in the space are actually the same six or seven things. And, you know, it is, you know, human agency and oversight. It is about privacy and governance. It is about, you know, robustness, safety, transparency, accountability, right? Those are all the issues that everybody, again, concludes. So we decided that talking about this is fine, and there is a lot of attention that this has already taken in the marketplace and overall. So we thought we should probably now move towards action. And for the last 2-3 months, this is where we are.
Okay. So going back to your big idea, the fact that you saw the challenges around bias around AI, and I completely agree with you. I've had numerous people on the podcast that were talking about this. They were talking about the black box, the reason why the black box needs to be opened. And one example I can remember is from the CTO from Mindbridge. He was actually talking about that, how decisions that are being made through AI need to be able to be explained by the people that are actually supervising what is happening. For example, if an auditor is being asked in court to explain why a certain decision was made, you need to be able to answer that in normal language. And you can't say, you know, yeah, I made a choice for me. I don't know how. And I mean, I also see regular kind of posts on the internet, for example, around self-driving cars, you know, who decides what decisions a self-driving car is making? So yes. That's also, of course, it's all about the learning. And if you miss out on the learning part, yeah, things can happen and choices can be made or bias can be put into that. So what do you believe if the power behind or the idea behind the goodai.org is to help establish those, well, to drive those conversations, to create the engagement around it, and to establish at the end, I think, rules for this or a framework for this. What do you believe is the end goal of this? How will the world look different?
Yeah, so the end goal is, right, you know, our belief is that if we can change, you know, mindset of one person at a time, that is going to create a big splash in the end. So being in Seattle is a very huge advantage for us. The reason being that this is a cloudy city. We have Google Cloud here. We have Oracle Cloud. And I'm not even going to say Amazon and Microsoft Cloud are here, right? Because that is obvious. But even Facebook, right? All the companies have their cloud offices here.
Yeah.
The world is running on cloud at the moment.
Yeah, sure.
Cloud is making AI more accessible and possible for, you know, far beyond our imagination.
Sure.
If we could influence Seattle, we could influence the whole world because the people who make it happen, create that platform for everybody to use, are all here. If their systems and their technology could embrace this, we are in good hands. I mean, that would be the ultimate goal. And I think if we could start with one person at a time in Seattle and ultimately influence everyone who's involved in making those decisions every day at, you know, these amazing companies, we would have done our job, I guess.
Yeah. But how do you check that? You know, would it be something, I'm just thinking about out loud, would it be something like an Intel Insights type logo that companies that are really, you know, they've thought it through and they really have an open mindset about this in terms of how it's all being explainable. I mean, I think you want to spread that word as well from that perspective.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there is one more, you know, misconception around AI, according to me. So me, AI, there is no AI company at the moment in the world because my definition of AI is very different. And you know, in my view, you know, the reasoning aspect is still not there. Yes, there is a lot of learning, there is a lot of automation, but that's all, you know, aspects of machine learning. And a lot of machine learning is considered AI. So with that regard, yes, there is AI. But if we are being very specific, it's actually machine and deep learning, which is more prominent at the moment in the world. I'm yet to see a real AI, exclusive AI, which is not machine learning and not deep learning. There's not one example that I'm aware of. So in my view, you know, it's all machine learning, but we are getting into the territory of AI, where it looks like it can be a possibility. But at the moment, I think we are just wrapping it all around AI so we don't have to explain or we don't get questioned because AI is, you know, self-aware and self-conscious. So
yeah.
People are using that name just more. I think it's misleading.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even thinking about tying it only to AI. I mean, all of these technologies at the end make decisions. And I mean, to solve business problems, I mean, the majority of the podcasts that I do are about business software. But to solve business problems, you need a variety of technologies. And they all need to be transparent. And they all need to respect ethics, etc.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want to tie it only to AI as well. So how is the progress going right now? I mean, what have you achieved so far that's worth making a remark about?
Yeah, so since March, what we have started doing is invite ideas. So the structure of, you know, each month when we meet, it is, first of all, it's an in-person meetup. And we also have international communities who are willing to start their own versions of this. And I believe we are about to finalize a template which might work for everybody. And in this template, we have a smallish group of people where everybody could get a you know, airtime and mindshare opportunity. And if it becomes bigger, we also have thought about that, you know, to create panels and, you know, rotating panel where, you know, most people would get involved at some point. But whatever it is at the moment, what we have achieved is created a template where, you know, people have the opportunity to get connected and network with others who are in the same space, but may come from a different background, because we have a lot of people usually from legal background. We have people from technology, obviously government background, individual communities and people. and businesses that show up and people who do not represent anything or anyone. We have had very diverse group of attendants, and it's all been really not, you know, solicited or marketed invitations. You know, we just have it on meetup.com and a few, we have it on our own website, and I post once on LinkedIn. If, you know, it's not about getting a large amount of people or a crowd to attend, but it's more about having the right, you know, mindset and the quality of people who are really willing to go that extra mile and invest their time, energy, and effort into this. So I think our achievement is that we are consistently been able to get, you know, a very diverse group of people, very diverse set of ideas into our meetups, and then actionability has not yet been there. So I would say in the same breath that although we've achieved one aspect of, you know, having a very diverse crowd, I think we are a little bit away from the action. We do have good ideas coming through, and I can talk about some if you like. But
yeah, definitely. Give a couple of ideas that are coming through those platforms. And I also want to kind of dive into, like, what are the typical challenges that people see? But maybe that is connected to the ideas that are coming in anyway.
Yeah, so one thing that you know, most people are thinking about at the moment, the ideas are revolved around where AI can help, you know, improve you know, a certain type of challenge. So last month we had somebody who came through, and their idea was to detect guns using deep learning and cameras that are already in place at schools, and detect, you know, and alert the law enforcement and, you know, all the relevant parties, so we can save some lives. But that is a very novel idea and an extremely important one. Exactly. So that was one of the ideas that was shared last time. And there was another idea around, you know, so if you look at your wardrobe, there are probably about 60-70% of the clothes that you never wear. And it is true for a lot of people. Yes, some people are more conscious than others, and these percentages may vary, but there's a lot of clothes that are just sitting there. The problem is that after plastics, clothes also contain plastic and non-plant-based materials, which are not compostable and not biodegradable. So reuse is one option for those. So somebody came through last time, and they wanted to create an idea, which was a profitable idea for them, to create personalized clothing, because people actually don't wear things that don't fit, right? Either they outgrow, or you know, those clothes are too large and they have lost weight and things like that. So those clothes are also sitting out there and idle. So this personalized clothing would help people get a really good material and continue to wear them longer. And then, you know, have a take back program. So somebody came up with this idea of, you know, creating a circular, sustainable economy around clothing.
Yeah, that's initially you think like, okay, it's pretty interesting for some people to understand what they're not wearing in their closet. But at the end, the bigger problem at the end is the fact that if you don't use it, you throw it away, and there you go. You know, the circular economy is definitely a big problem, or at least, well, the garbage that we're creating with it. So yeah, these are absolutely fantastic ideas to apply these technologies to. How is that connected then to the initial purpose of your organization? You know, the good AI, the bias, the safety type things that you were talking about earlier on.
Yeah. So I think it's more about trustworthiness also. So not just ethical and biases, but it's also about, you know, creating a trustworthy and a healthy environment around us. So explainability is important at every stage, right? Explainability creates trust invariably. And, you know, at the moment, you're right. I mean, we are not restricting or giving a template to people that, oh, you know what, your idea has to have a bias type of a... Okay. So we don't have a bias towards bias only. Our criteria is very simple. So we have only 5 things that need to apply to any idea. It has to be impactful. It has to create big impact. It has to be feasible. It has to have integrated AI somewhere, because otherwise it's not something that we can contribute. At least I cannot contribute in that, in the manner I could otherwise. It has to be scalable. And it has to be responsible. So as long as these 5 boxes are checked, it doesn't need to just be ethics or, you know, things around trust, but it can have, you know, be more impactful, feasible, scalable, and responsible.
Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah. I think that's definitely a topic for a number of reasons. Let me explain. The fact that you are setting up a platform to create those ideas, or at least bring those ideas to market, is a very good one. For in a great number of situations, I see that people, they have to get out of their, well, out of their world or out of their, well, think outside of the box. That's the maybe the phrase for it. And that's really hard because people, they know what they have. They know how certain things go. And for these type of technologies, because they are so different, you have to think completely different. And the more people start being involved in this process, I think the more ideas we will generate in order to create exponential impact. And that's what needs to happen. And having those platforms, exactly. I mean, if you share those ideas in a group, other ideas will come from that, because it's like, you know, one will fire the other. And that is required. That is good because there is, I think, a large software community behind it that can pick up on those ideas and actually start to bring them alive. But it starts with the good ideas and the big ideas. I'm actually writing a book about, you know, the 10 traits of a remarkable software business. And it's exactly that type of skill that is creating those type of companies. And a lot of companies are suffering from that because they're continuously staying in their box and don't really challenge the status quo around that topic. So fantastic that you are starting this. But have you got plans to kind of scale this outside of Seattle?
Yes, actually we do. So far, the reason why we didn't do it, like I said, you know, we didn't know what is the impact that, you know, something like this could create. And we didn't want to duplicate efforts. If there is an effort that's already happening in that direction, we want to support that. So there are some organizations that are using AI for education for kids. And so we actually support those organizations. And there are organizations like Good AI, which is helping, you know, move aid faster using AI technologies. So we want to support those groups and not duplicate that effort. So we want to encourage, you know, a fresh set of almost like a create the top of the funnel pipeline of great ideas. Yeah, and then, sure, you know, find out who can support it, who's willing and able to get behind those ideas, you know, either with their own time, with, you know, their own network or money or whatever ways they can support other people who are bringing those ideas and vice versa. Yeah. That is what we just want to create, that environment. And we think that this environment can scale everywhere. So initial thoughts are to move to a couple of locations. The NASSCOM in India is interested to try this, and some universities, as well as in Australia, we are having some conversations. So there are multiple places where this will start becoming a regular monthly event. So that's in our plan pipeline for this year.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. So from the sessions that you've done so far, you're saying you're doing these sessions monthly. What have you learned from this so far? I mean,
yeah, so we've learned that, you know, A, the marketing and, you know, getting the crowd is, you know, not the best thing. That, you know, when you're starting off, you should start small. And I think that's very, very important to come to this type of conclusion, that we've figured things out for ourselves. If we were big initially, we wouldn't be able to come to the conclusions that we have now. And now is the time to scale. So I think the timing is very important. That's the biggest learning for us. And also being, you know, realistic is another important learning here, because we didn't know, right, whether people will accept this as a gold standard. But right now, for example, when we are talking to a few different folks, they want us to work with IEEE. They want us to work with United Nations. And I've been actually invited to a couple of forums from those, from United Nations and a few other global AI conferences.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is important to time it right and not do that too early. So those have been our learnings. And then in terms of people, I think having diverse set of people, if anybody can manage to have that diversity in the room, the quality of general quality of ideas and quality of whatever action you want to take is going to be exponentially higher versus, you know, not having a diverse group of people contributing. So those are some important traits in replicating this maybe elsewhere.
Gotcha. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, diversity is always important. And again, there you go back to bias. Because if you don't have the diversity in the room, it is going to be biased. It's going to be people that are having the same discipline or the same profession or the same ideas.
Yeah. I mean, we have, so just to give you a diversity from professional point of view, you know, one of my co-founders, he used to be a professional coach he did that for a living without any AI background. So we were not just biased about, you know, people, what should be your background? Should you know algorithms? Should you know technology? And should you have a business around AI? Yeah. So those were not the criteria.
Yeah, exactly. So what fascinated me is that kind of you get more involved with the larger organization. You mentioned the number of a minute ago. This at the end, of course, needs to be carried forward. Yeah. Through bodies that have the impact and also the authority to bring this forward. How do you see that evolving in the future? I mean, is this something that at some point in time you just hand over to those organizations, or is this something that needs to be carried out and continue to be carried out like we're doing right now?
Yeah, so, you know, honestly, we haven't thought that far, but you know, at the moment, the thought process is that, you know, it has to be democratic. It has to be, you know, people driving this forward, right? And however the participants want to shape the future of this, you know, that is going to be most critical, right? Because we don't want to stifle an idea or, you know, control an idea. We want to give a guiding general principle around, you know, what are the guidelines, what is the criteria that we should generally follow. But we know that AI is going to continue to create new opportunities. Their unfair bias is going to continue to come into, you know, whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. New questions are going to be asked and we are going to be challenged. And, you know, above all, we cannot forget that, you know, everything is around making human life better, right? It is all centered around, you know, the humans and us, right? But we want to extend that to the entire planet, to the universe as much as possible. So we want to be flexible and not rigid about, you know, saying, you know, this is exactly how we want to go and this is the future that it looks like. We are very, we want to keep it fluid, but true, within some guiding principles.
Yeah, I mean, I had a discussion, I think, about it last week with one of my podcast guests. And one of the conclusions was kind of experiment, learn, and then decide like what to do with it rather than to create regulations and to stop certain things right from the beginning. That was, for example, around sharing data amongst your peers, government to government, commercial mm-hmm. business to commercial business. And of course, data privacy is a very big thing, but the data at the end is also the fuel for so many good things that can happen. So it sort of contradicts each other.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, we started the whole discussion around, you know, educating around biases. So during World War, I don't know if you've heard the story, but I've actually mentioned it in a few times in my videos and on the website as well, that, you know, during the World War, when the analysts or statisticians, they started looking at bullet holes on the plane, they started thinking, okay, let's predict where the bullet holes are going to be targeted and armor those areas so we can be more effective and win the war. But the problem was they were looking at planes which were coming back. They were not looking at planes that never made it back. So even though the entire statistical technique, the analysis, it was all data driven, but the bias was around planes which made it back. And that was a huge bias, which means you should armor the places where there are no bullet holes. It's just very counterintuitive.
Thanks.
So no matter how technical you are, no matter how much skill set and data that you have, there can always be a different lens that you might have to look at a problem. And this is all that we want to, you know, educate and create awareness around.
Yeah, talking about education, also kind of moving towards the half hour here. What advice would you give? Let's start with a software company. Kind of a software company building a new solution. What are the one, two, or three things that they really should take into account when they are designing those type of new solutions?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is having a diverse group of engineers. You know, even in software engineering, the example that, you know, you must check out is, you know, how Google had all right-handed coding. You know, the team was very diverse. It had female and, you know, all genders were considered and, you know, everything was set except for people were all right-handed. And when they uploaded YouTube videos, left-handed people using accessibility, it was flipping the videos upside down. So need to be aware of creating the right diversity within the team. I think it's very, very important. And encouraging, you know, having an ideation and an opportunity for people to see how they can give back beyond, you know, beyond their normal realm of books, because the creativity just exponentially comes out when you create a forum for people, you know, to contribute and give back and do something good together. So that's very important to create some sort of a culture around that. And, you know, obviously being in technical space, you know, one doesn't think about, you know, having, again, it goes back to the diversity opinion, but, you know, having some young people from education background, or, you know, some people who are very experienced from, you know, all different types of backgrounds, right? You know, including professors, you know, having a good culture of, you know, academics and technology and, you know, future thinking businesses. Yeah. You know, it is very important to create a forum or a platform, whether it is monthly or quarterly, whatever that frequency makes sense. But having a conscious effort around that is important. And not everything is driven by money. Or I want to say that not everything would require a lot of money to make it a success. You know, one can start with just a simple, you know, good intentions from people and, you know, just contributing back. So not everything requires a lot of money. That is important to keep in mind.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of now flipping the question from the developers and the business, the software businesses that are creating their solutions to the end user market. I mean, if you are selecting those type of solutions as an end user organization, what are the top one, two, or three things that the decision makers need to look for or need to ask for?
Yeah, so the decision makers need to, you know, start asking, you know, some very hard questions, which, you know, initially may sound like, you know, a overkill or an additional effort or an additional cost and time, and, you know, people are not able to meet deadlines, but, you know, they're being asked these questions and clarifications.
Yeah.
If everything is made explainable, if everything is made transparent, right, what kind of data biases, like Microsoft has refused a couple of very large deals in the government around their image recognition AI because they know that it's very, very biased against certain ethnicities. So it's important to be aware and sometimes, you know, put the foot down and prioritize, you know, doing the right thing instead of, you know, making a lot of dollars. And there is a huge misconception around, you know, if you do the right thing, you might end up sacrificing profits. What we want to obviously encourage is that doing the right thing can be very, very profitable. And that's why we are actually encouraging these pitch ideas and people to invest in those pitches.
Yeah, it all starts with the why at the end. I was looking at a video yesterday from a company that's considered one of the unicorns this year, a company called New Story. I mean, that's all starting with, like you said before, you know, making the first step and doing something that everybody finds crazy until it's not anymore because you solved it. And that all starts with that. And initially, it might not be something that sounds or feels like a profitable case. But once you've made it, make it happen, it really, really becomes like something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we believe that, you know, along with why, you should also look at why not. And yeah. Have a holistic view of everything. And, you know, diversity brings those questions, right? Having the ability to ask the right question and question everything until, you know, everybody and all aspects of are covered, right? So that's very important. Yeah, I feel a lot more unicorns are being created at the moment. And if, you know, some of these ideas have the potential to become bigger, I think they can all have a shared responsibility of, you know, doing something good with whatever their business is.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Is it something that should maybe become a theme? Like, okay, that is a lot of organizations create ideas and it's about their own profit, their own benefit. And well, today with the technology available, it is possible to really think beyond that and start thinking about like the social impact of certain solutions. That's where the bias comes in, of course. Any advice on that?
Yeah. So again, you know, I'll go back to the guideline principles that, you know, everybody's talking about, and, you know, our principles that we came out with, you know, just to, you know, help people make sure that, you know, those guiding rails are, again, followed to as much as possible. So yeah. Humanizing AI, you know, creating human-centered design, that's very important. Having fairness is the second thing, right? Designing your models around, you know, concrete goals of fairness and inclusion. And it has to be, you know, a very goal-oriented model to begin with. Interpretability or explainability is another third goal that we have here. in the guidelines where, you know, planning options to pursue interpretability, you know, that has to go right from the beginning, that, you know, people should interpret the results in a manner that it was intended or designed. It's very important. And then again, the fourth one is privacy and fifth one is security. You know, those are very obvious ones. But so we started with these five guidelines and we saw European Union came out with seven, which were kind of similar around these similar guidelines that we had.
Yeah.
So everybody is concluding the same things. And I think we want to share the similar ideas that, you know, those guidelines are all available, but one has to start getting into the action mode. I think for us, it's important that we want to promote action-oriented behaviors and say, let's start doing something. Let's start doing something very small and basic. It doesn't need to be grand. It doesn't require lots of people or money. Start something which is doable right now.
True. Very good advice. And to kind of round the whole circle, I mean, where can people go to find out more about the guidelines, to find out more about your initiatives, maybe even kind of talk to you to start something similar in a different country around the world?
Yeah, so I think the European Commission has a paper called Trustworthy AI, and a lot of summaries have been written about this, but there are seven guidelines that are available on that. We have our own website, thegoodai.org. I think the presentation should be available there, which talks about our five guidelines that we created and, you know, overall purpose and mission of the Good AI. So we have been publishing that. And there are lots of great articles and papers in IEEE and the communities that are coming up. I mean, Good AI, and then there are multiple other interesting organizations who are doing specific actions using AI. And in your own organization, I mean, you will be surprised, right, that there might be someone in your own organization who is already doing something about this, but maybe they're doing on their own. Maybe they're just, you know, a very small group. I would encourage everybody to join them and find those people and join them and you know, create a much larger community locally everywhere.
Exactly. Very good advice. Vikram, this was really inspiring. And I think you're doing something really good, very, very much needed, providing that guidance and leadership to ensure that what we are creating with the technologies today is ending up in something that we are going to be happy with.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Don. And I think I share the same sentiment for you. I mean, what you're doing here is, you know, bringing all those different diverse people. I consider myself privileged to be here with you today. And, you know, with the amazing set of interviews that you have done, I hope, you know, this was worth your time and the time of your audience. But I thank you, everyone who's listening, and you for giving me the opportunity to share what we're doing here in Seattle.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure on my side. And for everybody listening today, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I had the honor to speak to Vikram Modgil, founder of thegoodai.org. The goal of this podcast is to share compelling ideas and showcases to inspire what can be when technology and people blend in the right way. It's my strong belief that too much focus is put on automating people out of a process, in other words, cutting costs, rather than scenarios where the unique strength of people are augmented with technology to change the established rules and to deliver a value that was unimaginable before. So, with this podcast, I want to make a contribution to change this, to create a broader awareness of what can be, to accelerate the adoption by bringing together you, a tribe of like-minded people and organizations, and lastly, to accelerate the initiatives and solutions that could be created because one idea inspires the other. So if you know about stories that are worth sharing, please send me a message. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas, and that starts with you. If you want to have more information, read my blogs, or obtain information on working with me, just visit me on my website, valueinspiration.com. Thank you for tuning in, and you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast or provide me with your feedback. I'll see you shortly in a new episode.